And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
Tannehill takes. Gets it to the big man. Charging up the middle. He's got good run. Got good room across the 40. Across midfield. He's going to score. There he goes. Derrick Henry is going to hit the end zone. Touchdown, Tennessee. They tie it up. It took one play. It went 76 yards. Quick snap by Josh. Fakes the hands up. Fires downfield. Caught by Diggs. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen threw a heater right into the midsection of Stephon Diggs. The Bills regain the lead. Beasley goes in motion right side. Here comes the snap. Pressure on Allen. Has to dive out of the pocket. Throws it downfield. Got a man wide open. Touchdown. Cole Beasley. Touchdown, Buffalo. He was wide open in the end zone. And Josh found him for the Buffalo touchdown. Tannehill under center. Takes, turns, gives it to Henry. The Bills crash down on him. He fights his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Tennessee. Man, he's tough to bring down. Josh takes. Back to throw. Looks, fires into the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown. Tommy Sweeney. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh flips it. Flips it again. And a pass to Josh Allen wide open. They got it. They got it. Josh Allen catches it for the two-point conversion. The pass from Dawson Knox. And the give goes to Derrick Henry. Charges over the left side. Breaking tackle. Dives into the end zone. Touchdown, Tennessee. The lead changes again. And now the Titans have it with 3:05 left to play. 20 seconds on the play clock. Takes a snap, dives forward, and the Titans stop him. They stop him short of the goal line and the first down line. Titans take over, the crowd in a frenzy.
All right, that is your game rewind, brought to you by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you here on a Buffalo football Tuesday after the Monday night loss to the Titans by the score of 34-31. Tough one to swallow. The players said as much, especially when you're on the doorstep of victory and you can't get through the door, which was the case on 4th-and-1 at the 3-yard line with 22 seconds remaining. And people will analyze this to the umpteenth degree. We'll probably do the same over the next 2 hours. And there's a lot of ground to cover here, but Steve, I'm sure you've got a main takeaway from this. I've got one too. Where do you come down on this thing?
Well, two good football teams, and Titans played really well in the win. Bills left some things on the table, some plays you'd like to have back, some good calls, good non-calls officiating-wise. The Titans managed to just really, to me, stay alive in this game until they actually found themselves. And then they scored on their last six possessions. You got to hand it to them. Their offense came alive. 4 touchdowns, 2 field goals in their last six possessions. That's if you exclude the kneel down play at the end. The Titans came back strong in this game. The Bills matched them score for score up until the final, as you saw it there. We were watching it, that highlight, and everybody who's a Bills fan has seen it. You know, when Josh tried to sneak it over and get the first down, he slipped. The Titans got a really good jump on the snap, got a good surge. Josh slipped, couldn't get his weight behind it or his leverage, and you know, he got stopped short. He slipped and went down immediately, and that was it. So you can go back, and there's like 4 plays in this game early on that kept the Titans in it. The 76-yard run was great. You know, it was a great play, and you can say, you know, people have said, you know, Poirier got held. He did. No call. You're not, whatever. I mean, you're not going to get that call every time. You'd like to see it called because we've seen it called more innocuous holding against the Bills. And another thing, we'll get to holding penalties later, but that happened. The 76-yard run was a play that kept the Titans in it. The bopped arm interception where they hit Josh's throwing arm just as he's coming forward with it, that leads to an interception. The pass interference off the top of Micah Hyde's helmet that ends up in a completion, so they decline the pass interference call. And then that 4th down play at the end. But those first 3 plays were all in the first half, I think, or early in the 3rd quarter. And they kept the Titans in it. And that was what it took in a game like that. The Bills scored 31 points and had a chance to go even more than that. Weren't good enough in the red zone, no question. But it's a good team, 2 good teams. A lot of lead changes. It was back and forth. You walk out of there with a loss in a tight game like that with a chance to win at the end? Eh. I thought the Bills would score a ton of points. They did, and they left a lot of points on the table after scoring 30-plus.
You could argue they left 14 points on the table.
Right.
Because the holding penalty on Emmanuel Sanders that negated the Dawson Knox touchdown on the end-around play only ends up in a field goal drive. So there's four points. There's 4 points right there.
An identical holding call to the Poyer hold on the 76-yard touchdown run by Derrick Henry negated an Isaiah McKenzie touchdown on a kickoff return
that would have given
the Bills a chance to tie it up or go take
the lead. So that's another seven there.
That's another seven.
And then you can talk about, you know, they get the first down on 4th and 1. At the very least, you're kicking a field goal there.
Right.
So,
and Josh's stats look great. He threw for 355, had like 35 or something or 50.
Oh, this one's not on Josh.
Yeah, he played great. But
no way.
And it's almost the point now in this game where you think, wow, they, you know.
He wasn't perfect, but he was more than good enough
to
win this football game.
It's almost the point where, gosh, can, you know, how much can the guy do?
My biggest takeaway from this game is at the line of scrimmage. The Bills got beat on both sides of the ball. They did not win the line of scrimmage battle in this game. The Titans were the more physical football team, and they couldn't match it. They could not match the physicality of the Tennessee Titans in this game. We saw that on offense with their inability to reset the line of scrimmage in the run game on a consistent basis. And we saw that from, at times, a pass protection perspective, and we saw it in short yardage at the end of the game. Defensively, we saw it in terms of being unable to shed blocks and make plays on Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's 76-yard touchdown run, I know the holding call was there. That's one guy that got held out of 11. Okay? He didn't get touched on the 76-yard touchdown run. Scot-free, through the hole, and thanks for coming. And that wasn't the only play. He was getting to the second level with a full head of steam because nobody was laying a hand on him. And Coach McDermott said it after the game. We got to get off blocks. They could not do it. This was the most sacked quarterback in football coming into this game. He was getting sacked once every 10 dropbacks. 29 dropbacks, did not get touched. No pass rush to speak of. They got beat at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and I think that was the difference in the football game. Yes, there were some bad penalties that cost them points. There's no question about it. But they got physically overmatched at the line of scrimmage on offense and defense. And that's a concern for me going forward. Do I expect the Bills to win the battle at the line of scrimmage every week out in 18 weeks, whatever the heck we play now? No. They're not going to win that every week. But to see both sides of the ball have a tough time winning consistently at the line, I mean, it's hard not to think about what Coach says all the time. It starts up front. And that's where it started and ended last night. And it cost the Bills a game. You could argue they very easily could have won.
Oh, yeah. The Bills are, and I'll say this and I'll say it again. They're the same team they would have. They're the same team if they'd have scored the touchdown. They're going to be the same team today. You don't feel good about that game last night because Josh slips on that last fourth down conversion. But if they push it in, if right there, if he sneaks it and they get a surge and they roll into the end zone, none of this stuff goes away. You still have these same problems, but you feel better about your team because they won in a game where they didn't play their best. That's going to happen, particularly in a season where it's so long. Yeah, you're not going to win the battle, but I think most of what we have seen from this Bills team, even last night, they're a great football team. They really are. And they got beat on the road in a primetime game and a team that was highly motivated and had something they wanted to prove themselves.
But was supremely shorthanded.
And they got injured on the way throughout that stadium. And you got to tip your hat to the Titans. They put out a phenomenal effort.
They didn't have
with
any,
their left tackle out, their corners out.
They had
a couple of corners out already. Then they went down further down the
They had the three healthy corners at the end of the game.
So you really got to tip your hat to their ability. Now, Josh carved them up, too.
Right.
But it was their pass rush that really gave him a chance to win that game and kept Josh on the run, and he had to get rid of the ball. And there were on the plays where Josh could stand back there and throw it, he carved him up big time, and they knew it. So they were really, really working hard to get pressure on him. And to their credit, they did. That game went back and forth. Titans, as much, whether you like him or not, and I know a lot of Bills fans have a lot of angst and for a team that's not in your division. There's a lot of people that have a lot of bad feelings about the Titans going all the way back. But they're a well-coached team. They're mentally tough. They play with an edge. And that goes a long way in games that are tight like this. And I don't think, and I think the Bills got hit in the mouth last night. And while they responded, they just didn't get it enough done. They couldn't get it done enough. And I'll say this too. So far this season, I think the best player that the Buffalo Bills have faced by far is Derrick Henry. And it's not even close. It's not even close. In the games they've played so far, Derrick Henry has been the gold standard.
He is a special player. I wouldn't debate that for a second. T.J. Watt's probably in the conversation as well from the Week 1 meeting. But, yeah, I mean, he's a special player. But it's not like this guy was carrying Bills defenders on his back down the field. I think Coach, when he speaks to the media later today after watching the film, he will again reiterate what he said last night, which was our defenders have to get off blocks quicker. It's one thing to be in your gap. If you don't get off the block to make a play, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And that was a problem last night. There were also some times where the tackling was not fundamentally sound. And this is a coaching staff that harps on the fundamentals. You can't tell me that the Bills coaching staff did not put these guys through tackle drills this past week. They knew this was going to be a mash-it-up game with a running back like Derrick Henry involved, who is the focal point of their offense. I mean, say whatever you want about Ryan Tannehill. The guy's along for the ride, okay? He is. He doesn't carry that team in any way, shape, or form.
He's a facilitator, no question. He's good enough. I mean, and I'll say this too.
He can make a few plays.
Give their coaching staff and their philosophy credit. They're not asking him to do anything because they know he's limited. But he does just enough. And I'll tell you this, with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones out there at the same time, they're a different animal because they are matchup problems for any team, even teams with two great corners.
Whether they can run or not, because
right.
Both of them are coming off hamstring injuries. And I was saying this on the Bills Field Pass pregame show last night. They don't have to run fast.
Right.
They're not running nine routes. All they got to do is run to the sticks and post up because
right. They're
both 225 pounds and 6'4".
And
they can just box out defenders.
In the NFL, this current date, and the Bills were beneficiaries of this one time at least last night as well on a Steph Diggs target. Those guys just run down the field. You get a nine route. If the quarterback's in trouble, put some air under it, throw it a little bit short, have the receiver turn around, come back to it, pass interference is as good as a completion. That's a thing now in the NFL.
Yeah.
Teams are using it, they're going to it, and it's becoming more and more prevalent each and every game you watch. The Bills got away with it last night. Steph Diggs down the middle of the field. They called it on the five. They threw the flag.
Point of initial contact.
It was a point of initial contact. Bills first and goal on the five from midfield. It was a huge play, and it set the Bills up for a score. So it's a thing that happens, and with two receivers like Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, it's even more a weapon for a team like Tennessee because they're going to get some man coverage when teams kind of throw men at the box to stop Derrick Henry and a play action and all the stuff that goes with that. So all that stuff was in play last night, and I got to tell you, I know it's Bills fans are kind of sick to their stomach today, and I'm with them. I mean, I was calling for a blowout. I knew it was going to be a 30-burger, or 40-burger for the Bills, and they left points on the board. But that was two pretty good football teams last night. It was a really, really good football game.
The seven lead changes set a record for most in a Monday night football game in league history. So the Dolphins are the next opponent on the schedule. After the bye this week, the Bills will host Miami, reeling Miami. Who knows where they'll be 2 weeks from now on Halloween.
At home.
Yeah, here in Buffalo. So Twitter conversation for you today. Does the outcome of last night's game against the Titans raise an area of concern for you? And if so, what is that? You can give us a call at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, or you can hit us up on the tweet sheet at 1BillsLive. A lot of people have commented on the footing for Josh Allen. I've tried to watch this replay as much as possible. I am not 100% certain of this, but I will say I thought the reason he lost his footing was because of the penetration on the play. Defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons, who is their best defensive tackle for the Titans, penetrated so well, he drove John Feliciano back towards Josh Allen, and that is why he lost his footing. I want to say that part of Feliciano's body hit Josh Allen's knee as he tried to step forward, and it caused him to be unable to plant his foot in the ground and drive off of it. So once you lose your footing like that, you know, he's getting pushed back. He did kind of slip, but he's already getting bumped on the hip by Deion Dawkins as we watch it and our MSG viewers watch it.
Dawkins was trying to come in to they had overloaded the interior of the line. There were like two guys over Feliciano, and Dawkins, who's gotten crushed for getting rolled over, he's coming hard inside
he's
to his right
situation.
And
there,
when you're going sideways and the guy's coming forward, you have no chance to bear up and hold that guy off. And that's, you know, that it was, I think it's one of those points where, yeah, certainly you, no question it was the right thing to do. I was totally on board
going
with going
for it,
for it and stuff. And you got Josh, the quarterback. He's a great short yardage back. There was a little bit of a hectic, helter-skelter kind of feel to the play when did he get in? Did he get the first down? Are they going to review the play on the first down? You know, he hurdled a guy again, went high in the air, came down right at the marker. They marked him short. Well, then what are you going to do? Are you going to call a timeout? The clock is ticking. Are you going to call a timeout? Are they going to get reviewed? Do you get reviewed automatically because it's so close? Because it's within the last 2 minutes. You can't challenge it. So you got to kind of keep going. So all this stuff's going on. You're going to get lined up. Are you going to run? Are you going to go for it, or are you not going to go? So there's like a million things going on. So there's a little bit of a helter-skelter feel to the last play or two of the game right there. And even though the Bills got lined up, got ready, and they were going to do it, had time to do it, you had that feel of like it was all a blur real quick, and they didn't have a chance. Now, you call a timeout there, maybe, and a lot of people said you waste it or whatever, but that had that feel of everybody's like, you take a deep breath here.
They had one timeout left at that point.
Right.
On the fourth down play. So if they get the first down, I think what I would have done is quick get everybody up to the line and spike it. Now it's second down, and you still have, with one timeout left, the run-pass option. The Tennessee defense has to play you honest now because can run the ball and still call timeout to stop the clock. So I would have tried to hurry up to the line. If we get it, spike it. What do you have, 12 seconds left? Second and goal from the one or two? You run two plays, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe three if you hurry.
That's right. So all that's going on. And, you know, to their credit, Tennessee was on it, man. They jumped the snap.
And then they reduced down.
And they reduced down. And the Bills, you know, had to kind of try and crash it in there. And when they're crashing in to keep those guys from penetrating, the Bills' offensive linemen are kind of going sideways. Yeah. And Tennessee's going straight ahead.
Look, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on offensive line play. But as soon as Jeffrey Simmons reduces down, and now Deion Dawkins' shoulder is even with Jeffrey Simmons' helmet, and he's angling down to the guard, the job, and I saw a very interesting breakdown of the play with ESPN analyst Jeff Saturday, a former center who has done more than his share of quarterback sneaks with Peyton Manning, with the Colts, and for his whole career. And he said, Deion Dawkins' job, once Jeffrey Simmons reduces down, he's got to get his helmet to Jeffrey Simmons' left leg and get across there. That's impossible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You can't
ask him to get there from where he was standing.
The problem their splits to begin with are a little wide. They're going to sneak that, and they got to anticipate it. You'd like, and what you want to do as an offensive line is try and get the defense to line up on you. But if they don't, you got to reduce down your own split. You got to get zero, like foot to foot on your splits. You can't have a foot between you and the guard. You got to match their ability to get
narrow.
Down tight. You got to get narrow. You got to lower your splits down. But, you know, like I said, a lot of that is reaction time, getting off on the jump on the snap, and the Titans did it. The Titans did it in that spot.
Here's another thing that I wondered about. You have the sneak called. Coach McDermott said last night after the game that as far as quarterback responsibility, there is a read element to what he's looking at prior to the sneak, which for me translates to he's got to make a decision on whether to stick with the play or change it. Is that what he's saying there?
I don't know if it's changing the play, but it might be changing where he's going to dive
the
in.
Gap.
You know, the
changing
gap.
The gap.
Changing
assignment
the gap
of the play.
Do. That, I don't know. It could be any of that.
So, yeah, and I'm not going to pretend to know either. There is a part of me that openly wonders, though, would you have been better served running it to the right side behind your two biggest offensive linemen instead of running it to the left to two of your smaller offensive linemen? Feliciano is the smallest offensive lineman on the line, and he's going against the best defensive tackle blocking down on him defensively for the Titans, and he's already got the leverage battle won with Deion Dawkins before the football is even snapped. I know this is armchair quarterback stuff here, but 350-pound Darrell Williams and 328-pound Spencer Brown sounds like a better proposition to me in that situation.
Yeah,
I know it's easy to say now.
Yeah, when you trust your quarterback, you trust him, and if he sees something, he's going to take it. But and it's whenever you're in a close game like this or an overtime game like this, this is how overtime rules get changed. The game ends, and everybody wanted to see a little bit more of it, so they changed the rules. So next time you will get to see a little bit more of that game. And if you get into a situation like this with your quarterback and your team, and you get into a spot where it's do or die on one play to end the game or keep your chances alive, and you miss it, it's like, well, you should have done the other thing. You know, that's a Marvel Evie.
I don't think there is any question that Coach McDermott made the right decision to go for it there. I think he was 100% correct, not only in terms of what the analytics said, which said it was your win probability was better by going for it, but I think he also took into consideration the nature of the football game. The facts were these. The defense had given up 6 consecutive scoring drives to the Titans. They could not stop them. You had to end the game as quickly as possible, and that was the opportunity that sat in front of them on the 4th-and-1. You convert the 4th-and-1, you call it, you spike the ball, you got 3 cracks at the end zone with probably about 12 seconds left. That's your best case scenario getting out of there with a victory. Now, you can argue whether it should have come to that. It probably shouldn't have, because Dawson Knox should have been in the end zone on the end around without a penalty, and Isaiah McKenzie should have been in the end zone on a 101-yard kick return.
Yeah.
They didn't happen. So now that's what you were faced with at the end of the football game. It probably shouldn't have been that close. You probably shouldn't have been behind.
Yeah, but you were. So I mean, that's the way it goes. I mean, you give the Tennessee Titans some credit on all the things they did. And you know, it's just like it was with the Kansas City game, where you come out of there and you think, "Wow, we could have gotten a lot more points out of there." The Chiefs were thinking that the officials were against them, and the Bills fans were saying the same thing. Along with the announcers, Chris Collinsworth last week in the Kansas City game. It goes on both sides of the thing. What you have to do is you got to overcome the things that don't go your way, and you got to play better even when they do go your way. And the Bills last night, I think the Titans put forth a supreme effort. Tip your hat to them.
Yeah.
You're right. They were physically more – it seemed like they were physically
the more, physical
more
team.
Engaged and more aggressive team on the field that night, last night, and it paid off in a win for them.
Let's go to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We lead off with Jennifer in Albany. Jennifer, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys. Love you. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Listen to the show every week.
Appreciate that.
Also, I'm really happy to say I went to Kansas City last week, so that was a great experience.
All right. You picked the right one.
I did pick the right one. Season ticket holder, I make it across the state for the games. But I don't have any problem with the play calling at the end of the game. When you ask the question about what's kind of concerning moving forward, I'd have to say the red zone. I don't get it. With all the firepower we have in Josh Allen, we don't have a big back. I think we're dynamite 20-20, even 20-10. But I feel like the first 2 years, it was just Josh Allen time. He would just run it in, make a play. And now, I don't know what it is. We just don't score. We get field goals. Great. I mean, we're putting up 30 points, but, you know, to be a championship team, we got to finish there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all, Jennifer, and thanks for the call. We got to move along and get to other people that are on hold here at 803-0550. But The Bills right now are 26th in the NFL in red zone touchdown efficiency. 26th at just over 55%. They lead the league in red zone possessions with 29, and they're tied for fourth in the league with 17 successful red zone possessions resulting in a touchdown. But their efficiency is 26th in the league. In half of their games this season, they are below 50% efficiency in the red zone.
Yeah, that's the thing that's, I think, different about 2021 than it was in 2020. They're not, you know, they don't score as often when they get down there.
Last year, they were 12th in the league in red zone touchdown
They were better last year. And I think one thing, and Jennifer, you're right, I think that is the thing that I notice as well, is their red zone efficiency. They're moving the football. They're hard to get off the field. And they're getting it in chunks when they need to. And they even left a lot of plays out on the field yesterday. Last night, I thought. So they're really playing at a high level right now, but they're having trouble finishing drives at the rate which you'd like to see them. And I think some of it has to do with how successful and what has been successful for them in the past. And I think they need to search for, and maybe they found it in their tight end. You know, Sweeney caught one last night. Dawson Knox has been a big factor down there for them this year. I think they are still kind of fleshing out what they can and cannot do down there, aside from just letting Josh take the snap gun, the shotgun snap, and put the ball under his arm and follow everybody around to the right or all the way, everybody around to the left. You know, Josh has been such a force down there in the red zone because of his throwing ability, but also mostly because he's a threat to run it, and defenses respect that. Now defenses are saying, okay, we don't want you to do that. We're not going to let you do that this time. So the Bills have to flesh out some way they can be effective in the red zone that doesn't have to do with number 17, or at least not so much. And when they do that, their efficiency will raise, but I don't think they've figured that out yet.
803-0550, number to get on board. We go out to the West Coast to Nick in L.A. Nick, what do you have for us here on One Bills Live?
I've got two questions. First is, why are the Bills running Josh Allen as quarterback sneaking? He's getting hit in the shoulders with 700 pounds of men each time. And the second question, if you want him to last 16 years as a quarterback, that seems bad. The other one is, where was the spearing call on the guy who got carted off?
Yeah, Taylor Lewan.
On him or the guy who hit him?
On him. Yeah. He led with his helmet. I would agree with Nick 100% on that. And Nick, thanks for the call. I would agree with him 100%. Taylor Lewan is not known as the cleanest player in the league by any means. He'll cheap shot somebody if he gets the opportunity and doesn't think the officials are looking. And he hurls himself into the play late, number one. And then number two, he leads with his helmet. I mean, he ran the risk of paralyzing himself with the way he hurled himself in there like a missile. That is spearing in every sense of the description of what that is. I mean, he's got his helmet down and he's looking to hit somebody. That's a problem. Fortunately, he's okay, but that's not the way you go into a pile to try to push the play forward. You just don't do that. He's dropping his head, and he is looking to land it on somebody. I mean, that's what he's doing. He's drilling somebody in the kidney there. That's not good football. As far as Josh Allen is concerned, why do they use him on sneaks? Because he converts 81% of the time in his career. That's why.
Yeah, because he's a big, strong athlete.
That's about as close to a sure thing in football that you're going to get.
Yeah, they'll do that until either Josh says, hey, I've had enough of that, or it starts not converting them often enough for their tastes. And so, you know, he is and has been, you mentioned it, Nick, that in his career he's become probably the best short yardage back in the league because he's got the ball in his hands all the time and he can throw it. So.
And it is a risk, but everything in football is a risk. It's a physical sport.
The thing about the quarterback sneak is, yeah, there's a lot of weight there, but there's not a lot of velocity behind it.
That is true.
And that's a difference. So guys are on him. They pile on him, but they do it slow. You're not getting guys rocketing in at 100 miles an hour and getting a clean shot on him. They may jump on the pile, but that's not as dangerous as a collision. So that's one thing as well. Now, the thing about it is that's a quarterback sneak, from what I'm describing, is less dangerous than having the guy in the shotgun and then running that power quarterback student body right, student body left, where he's behind some guys. Because then people are running full speed and somebody get a clean shot at him.
Yeah.
That's more dangerous. Plus, he gets to the sidelines, tries to step over guys or stepping around guys, and then your legs are in trouble, and you got, you know, you get guys clean shots at your quarterback. So the quarterback sneak is actually as safe a run as you're going to have. Now, it's not comfortable, and it's mean and nasty down in there, but you're not going to get a big-time shot at your quarterback. Yeah.
Break time for us here. More of your phone calls when we return. Rick in Nashville and CJ in Niagara Falls will lead us off, but we'll try to get to everybody here in the next segment at 803-0550. Did the outcome of last night's game raise an area of concern for you? You let us know. Back with more of your phone calls next here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Josh takes back to throw. Looks, fires into the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown. Tommy Sweeney, touchdown Buffalo. Tommy Sweeney catches it. A one-yard touchdown catch for Tommy Sweeney.
That is your red zone play of the game, brought to you by Hunt Real Estate. Visit huntrealestate.com to score on all your real estate needs. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker.
Was that before or after Knox broke his hand? It was after, wasn't it?
I believe it was after, yeah. So he was out there pretty much as a decoy on the play because he was on the field.
That might have, oh, was he?
I believe he was.
Yeah, he got it. Was that the two-point conversion?
Oh, no, maybe not, because I don't.
The touchdown before the two-point conversion. So, yeah, Knox might have broken his hand on that play.
On that play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Josh was trying to wave that play off when it was getting called in because he knew what Dawson was dealing with, and Dawson's like, forget it, I'll get it to you.
I got it.
I'll get it to you.
I got it.
Because people on Twitter, were criticizing his throw, and it's like nobody knew he had a busted hand, which was confirmed today by NFL Network's Mike Garofolo, who said that he basically is reporting that Dawson Knox has a broken hand, suffered in the game. No word on how long he could be out. Coach McDermott's scheduled to address the media in the 3 o'clock hour today, so we'll see if there is an update or a prognosis as to how long he might be sidelined, if at all. Sometimes, I mean, obviously that's going to impact his receiving ability, but can he play? Is it something he can play with or not? We'll see if we get any clarity on that from Coach McDermott later this afternoon. We want to get back to the phones. 803-0550. Did the outcome of Monday night's game raise an area of concern for you? You can let us know. We go to Rick in Nashville, though, to lead us off in this segment. Rick, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Yeah, it really didn't raise a concern. It just kind of underlined what it's just been the concern, geez, the last 3 years. If you take Josh Allen out of the equation, our short yardage is terrible. I mean, to get third and a half inch, we can't do it. We have nobody who's a people mover in the interior. And when we play teams that have a good defensive tackle, like Hayward with Pittsburgh or last night, or the guy with the Redskins, whose name skips my mind, they dominate. They absolutely kick butt along that. We get no push, and the game plans don't seem to be like, okay, we know interior linemen, and they just flat out beat them snap after snap. I don't know why we watch film. And, I mean, they got to see it. Everybody else sees it.
What would you? Would your answer be?
I live in Nashville,
Rick. What would you do? What would you do different?
Yeah, that's the problem. I guess you got to play who you have. I do like Brown at tackle. He's physical. He'll push the pile, but he's like the only one who's willing to do it. I was going to say I live here in Nashville, and the Titans talk, as it was last year, is we are more physical than they are. We can push them around, and
they're not wrong.
Damned if they didn't do it.
Yeah, they're not wrong. I mean, they were the more physical team last night. They are 100% right about that. And I mean, it was as evident as the hand in front of your face. They beat him on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Not the entire game, but for the majority of it. Yeah. And that's why Derrick Henry was running untouched to the second level far too many times.
I'll say this, offensively for the Bills, when the Bills' offensive line did protect Allen, he carved him up big time.
He did.
For 355 and a couple touchdowns and all that stuff. It just didn't happen. He scored 31 points, but it didn't happen enough. And on the defensive side, you're right. When you've got you know, basically a defensive lineman carrying the ball as well, a, you know, 6'4", 250-pound guy running up the middle too. That's an, you know, that's a physical presence that a lot of teams can't match up with, and that's why Tennessee is a perennial contender in their division and in the playoffs. And, you know, it's because they are a big physical team with a big physical running back. And not to, let's face it, it's a throwing league. And these teams that are doing that are able to do that at a high level, particularly with a guy like Derrick Henry or a guy like Lamar Jackson, the guys that they unfurl, although all the guys are hurt in Baltimore. But these teams that are run first or run centric have kind of a leg up on the rest of the league because the rest of the league is built to stop the pass and to pass rush. Mm-hmm. They don't really have the personnel or the scheme or the attitude of, hey, we're going to go out for 60 minutes and pound the ball and stop you from pounding it.
That's what made Jim Harbaugh so effective when he was coaching the 49ers about 8-9 years ago, because right. he just got big old linemen and started running the football when everybody else was throwing it. And it was effective because
nobody
was built to stop the run.
Yeah.
803-0550. Let's go to CJ in Niagara Falls. CJ, what do you have for us?
Hey, I'm not really concerned. Even the best teams have an off game. But getting back to last night on that 4th-and-1, it definitely was the correct call to make. Now, 3rd down, when Josh runs, ESPN's showing a graphic where he made the 1st down. After the game last night, McDermott, during his press conference, said that the referee on the field said, yes, it was a 1st down, but he says the guy up in the booth said, no, it wasn't. Well, who's refereeing the game? And secondly, why didn't they have a measurement then? Because even if he was short, I still think they're showing the graphic on TV between the yellow and the black line. I think the black line would have been even more closer. But I'm just fed up with these referees. They throw a flag when they're not supposed to. They don't when they should. I mean, it's just getting ridiculous now. And again, here last night, it might have caused the Bills. Here, you're showing the play right here now. Here it is. He made that 1st down. How the heck can you say he didn't?
Well,
I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
When his back comes down, the ball's on his right shoulder, so it looks like the ball's going to end up short. I mean,
ball's behind the line. It's where the ball is, not where Josh is, right?
It's when his elbow comes down, he's down, and the ball is not there. And that's that simple. The problem is now you got the clock to contend with and all that. And if he would have, if he'd have whipped the ball backwards and past that line, it might have worked. But here's the thing. We all clamor for the sky judge to do it and get it right. In that estimation, you can say, he didn't make it. Whether you think he made it or not, that's exactly why the sky judge is there, to get a shot like that with the graphic down the line and say, no, he didn't make it, and mark the ball at this spot. And you'll see here's the shot again. They got a red line.
Where the ball is, right?
The ball dropped, boom, it's short.
He's out of bounds already by the time it comes near the line,
he's
and
short.
It's falling out of his hand.
I hate to say it. He's short. You can say no.
Josh even said after the game, I think it was the right call on 3rd down.
He did not get it. And now they also called for the clock to run because Josh landed in bounds and slid out of bounds and the ball came loose. So then you got all that going around, and Sean McDermott came up, called a quick timeout right there and gave his team a chance to go out and you know, collect itself. But
plus the ref was
you can raise
winding
Kane
the clock.
I have no problem.
I didn't understand
and
that.
And in
one.
Fact, there's a couple of things that happened on that. On the Julio Jones play that we showed earlier where it doinked off Micah Hyde's helmet and Julio Jones tracked the ball and caught it, the official waved it out of bounds as an incomplete. The sky just said, judge said, and rightfully so, said no, he caught it. And that negated the penalty. So it went down as a reception. Right here, they're going to call interference. And then right there, Julio Jones goes out of bounds, and they wave him out of bounds, incomplete. Well, the sky judge saw a quick replay, and rightfully so said, no, he got his feet in. If this is going to be this, it's got to be Titan, catch. He drags the toe at the 36-yard line or 34-yard line. And that's why that happened, because they didn't go. The officials on the field said, no, that's not a catch. The guy upstairs said, yes, it is, and he was right. So that's why we don't see or hear this sky judge chime in like we have in years past. They're just doing it. Yeah. And I think it's a better way to go, because on that, it doesn't delay the game and all of that. Now, it leaves us here with people, you know, calling in saying, hey, you got, and it's just not right. They got that right, I thought, in both those situations.
Yeah.
Whether you like the interference call or not, But there you go. I mean, that's I think they got it right, and the sky judge is the reason they actually did, and they got it right fast. Let's now, conversely, short yardage. Yeah, I agree with everything he said.
Yeah,
they got to play better there. They got to play better.
Let's go to Joe in Buffalo. Joe, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live. Hello, Joe.
Joe.
I'm going to put Joe back on hold there. And instead, we will go to Adam in Williamsville. Adam, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hi, thank you. I agree 100% with going for it, but I agree 0% with the play they called. You're going into the heart of the defense. You have multiple 300-pound defensive linemen bunched up exactly where you want to go. Plus, the O-line has been playing spotty all day long at best. I think the answer you asked someone, what would you do? I think the answer is you do anything else but that play because that was the dumbest thing to possibly do. When the game's on the line and you have one play to do and you have seconds left, the middle of the third quarter, the first half, sure, run that play. But in that situation, I think you call any other play. And one example, and I remember when they did the trick play, the catch that to Josh, pass to Josh.
Right. The two-point conversion.
I thought at that very moment, they shouldn't waste that play on a two-point conversion. That's something they should save for when they really, really need it. And that would have been a great place to spring that play.
Yeah. Easy to say when to use it because every play is critical. But, I'm in favor of getting Josh out in space. I like him a lot better in space than I do in that situation there. It's easy to say now. It's armchair quarterback. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Josh just couldn't make that straight line because of the penetration on the play.
The history of why they do that, Adam, is Josh is
81% conversion.
More than that. I mean, he's like 14, and the only two times he has not converted on that is one when he fumbled the snap. And
this year he's 4 of 6.
And that
career, he's 81% conversion.
Yeah.
On third and one or fourth and one.
So they did that because they got a history of that play working, whether they expect it or not, whether they got 300-pounders across from him or not. It's a play that works 80% of the time. So that's why he did it, and that's why they went to it. And I get it, too. If it doesn't work, you should have done the other thing. Absolutely. So
easy to say. Hindsight's 20/20.
But that's, you know, and I like the thought, and Brian Griese said it last night in the broadcast. If you got to win you're going to go take that team to overtime when you haven't stopped them in 6 possessions, and you're going to leave it up to a coin flip.
That's 50-50.
I say put the ball in the hands of your best player, and let's see if you can get 6 inches.
And that's what they did.
That's what they did. And it didn't work.
Just didn't work. Break time for us. More of your phone calls next at 803-0550. We're back in a moment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Milestones, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills, is Reed's Gens. And this week's Reed's Milestones is as follows. Bills quarterback Josh Allen played in his 50th career game Monday against the Titans. He is the only quarterback in NFL history to have 80-plus passing touchdowns and 25-plus rushing touchdowns in the first 50 games of his career. Let's get back to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We go to Kevin in Hamburg next. Kevin, what
do
you have for us?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You bet.
The thing that worries me, even if the Bills would have won, is looking at Derrick Henry and how good he is and how people have to be scared of him on the other defensive team that prepares for him. The thing that worries me the most is that our lack of running game that basically terrifies defenses, because – I like Singletary and Moss, but if I was a defensive coordinator, I would not be terrified like King Henry, the guy, or even the legends of the past that have scared people, size-wise or not, like DeMarcus Allen, Emmitt Smith. And that worries me, that makes Josh Allen be our main running game when a lot of the Super Bowl winners of the past had deadly running games, like those guys I mentioned and more, Larry Zonka's, John Riggins.
Well,
you're talking about a game that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Well,
but
I'm not saying them. It don't have to be like that, but at least someone that scares people more.
Yeah.
Right. You're thinking the Bills need an upgraded running back.
I think if you have a line blocking effectively, your running back's going to look pretty good. Not to take anything away from Derrick Henry. He's a special breed of player. But that line was getting the job done last night for him.
Yeah, even a nicked up offensive line was doing it. And I'll say this too. I don't think the Bills are in a position now where even having lost that game last night, where they need to alter, you know, they're not going to alter their roster in any major way this year for sure, unless injuries dictate it. They may tweak it here and now. Like yesterday, they had three defensive linemen that were inactive, and usually that's only two. They have not Zach Moss was not active in week one. He's been active ever since. Yeah. So, you know, stuff like that will happen. But, I do not have a problem with the way this team is built. You can say you want guys to play better and that kind of thing, but substantially speaking, I don't want a first-round running back.
No.
Even if it's Najee Harris.
And I'm just going to repeat what Brandon Bean said last spring. Our backs are good enough. We just need to run the ball more effectively. What does that mean? Your line's got to be better at executing the blocking assignments. That's what that says to me.
And I'd be interested to know how the Bills coaching staff unvarnished evaluates those guys this week after that game.
Yeah.
Certainly you got to tip your hat to how good a team the Titans are, no question. But by the same token, have you seen your guys play better than they did? Were they making mental mistakes or physical mistakes? Physical mistakes or getting physically overpowered by a guy who's bigger, faster, stronger, whatever. Okay. You know, but a mental mistake or bad technique, things that leave you in a bad position as an offensive line, that's the stuff you can coach out of them or stuff that you have been coaching and they haven't gotten yet. So that I'd be really interested to see what the Bills coaching staff thought about their play of you know, every position group of their team yesterday.
And one more thing to credit the Titans on. They've now played Josh Allen four times. Coming into the game last night, he averaged 3.5 yards per carry. They've done a very good job of hemming him in and not giving him escape lanes to scramble and get yardage. Last night, he averages 2.9 yards a carry. Now, that carry for loss obviously hurts the average, but 2.9 is anemic.
Yeah, he took a couple of sacks, too, couple of deep sacks. But and I'll say this, too. I didn't have a problem with – you know, I'm glad Josh took those sacks. As he, you know, you could see him doing the Pat Mahomes thing and trying to heave it out of there and having it go the other way.
Well, that's how one of the picks happened. His arm got hit as he threw. Now, he wasn't –
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, you know, I'd rather have him take a sack, but on that it's a little different. But he's stopped trying to heave the ball out of there up for grabs when he's getting tackled. And I think that's a better place to be, even though it set him up for like a third and 20 or third and 17. At least it's not first and 10 going the other way for the Titans.
Let's get one more call in here before the break. We go to Chuck in Hamburg. Chuck, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live. Chuck, are you there? All right. Put Chuck on hold, and we'll go to Joe in Buffalo. Joe, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live. Okay, Joe will go on hold. We'll try one more.
One last chance.
We'll go to Ken in Buffalo. Ken, do you have us? What do you got?
Hello, friends.
Hey, Ken. Glad you're there.
Happy Tuesday and happy vacation to me. I wish it was on better terms here, but I just want to touch on two things. I hate to keep beating a dead horse on that last play, but I was watching with my lady, and she's tapping me saying, "Why are we going for it?" And I said, "Don't worry, they're just going to try and draw them off sides." And when they ended up snapping the ball, I was surprised myself, which makes me ask the question, do you think maybe the offensive line was a little caught off guard with that play?
It's interesting. And, what else did you have, Ken?
Also, to the last caller on our run game, I mean, it's easy to make comparisons when you're comparing yourself to the King Henry. Literally, they call him the King, but that guy is an absolute freak of nature, predator from the movies. And when you're comparing your team to a guy like that, yeah, it's easy to look a little bit mediocre, but I think we just need to execute better and maybe run the ball a little bit more, even when it's not in the cards, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Ken. I will say this about your initial point of trying to draw them off sides. If you watch the play again, Josh is in the shotgun before he goes back under center. He's in the shotgun, and John Feliciano does the hand signal to Morse to snap the ball, which they had been doing all game to snap the ball on a silent cadence. He did it, and Morse didn't snap the ball. I thought that was designed to draw the Titans off sides. Then that didn't happen. Josh runs up to the line, gets under center, and it's like, here we go. So I'm really interested to know what the whole idea was there. Was that a missed snap that should have been had in the shotgun? And was it a completely different play? Or was that designed to try to draw them off sides? Okay, that didn't work. Let's snap the ball now. That's what I'm interested in.
It's a good observation, and it probably was. We saw the Titans do it, and rightfully so. Riddick, the announcer, Lewis Riddick, early in the game, they got an offsides penalty on Deion Dawkins because the D-line shifted late in the snap count quick, and Deion flinched, which gave him a 5-yard penalty. That's coaching, and it's game planning. Same thing with a silent count. You go on a silent count, and the other team can see what you're doing. You give the signal from the guard, and it's ball snaps, and you do it, and it gets into a rhythm. So you do it one time in a crucial situation. They're trying to, and they're all hyped up to do it. You give them the signal, and they jump knowing the snap's coming, and it doesn't come because you've given them the pump fake. So all of that stuff's coached, and it's a good observation by you that was a possibility, and I agree with you. Having him start out in shotgun, then come up to the line of scrimmage, I think, you know, there's a lot in there. I mean, you know, the Titans did a nice job. They just played it well. And the Bills did not get off the ball as well as they should have.
Yeah. Tough one for sure. I'll see, you know, we'll dig here in the break and see if we actually have the play before Josh goes up under center. I don't know that we do. But I distinctly remember Feliciano doing the hand signal to Morse to snap the ball when Josh was still in shotgun. Got to wonder what the impetus of that was designed to do. Break time for us here. When we come back, it's time for the weekly appearance from Good Morning Football's Kyle Brandt as he weighs in on Monday night's game, which he thought would be a close contest. He picked it to be a 1-point affair in favor of Buffalo. It wasn't that, but it was close, and it went back and forth. We'll talk to Kyle next here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy. All right. Welcome back to hour number two of a Buffalo Football Tuesday. Time for the weekly appearance from one Good Morning Football's Kyle Brandt, who is on the phone line right now. So let's go to Kyle. All right, Kyle, so here we are, the postmortem on a 3-point loss that came at the hands of a failed fourth down conversion in the final 20 seconds of a game by Josh Allen. And I think it was a microcosm of the game on that play, because I hate to say it, but the Bills did not win at the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. They got physically beat by a Titans team last night. What do you think?
And Josh slipped.
Yeah, he did, and I think I did too. Guys, I'm driving home from Buffalo right now. I was driving to the Tasker's house last night to have some of those 40 burgers that he said he was going to serve up for us last week. They sounded delicious, and in the end, it ended up being another burger that was eaten, especially by the Bills' defense. It's so bitterly disappointing. But listen, we sat here last week, and you guys are feeling yourself, and Buffalo's the number one team in the league,
yep.
And all the mafias on all the flights to Nashville, and they're taking over the bars, and then we're going to roll them. No. Tennessee has got guys. They got tough guys who have been there before. The coach, the running back, the quarterback, a lot of those guys. And I thought this would be very close. I thought this would be like a field goal at the last second type deal, which obviously did not end up being. But I didn't think anybody was going to say that Derrick Henry would be that good, especially with the very well-established success that the Bills have had against him. That was rough, man. I mean, the problem is that they may see that dude again. I know the Bills are going to win enough games, and the schedule is pretty soft, but Woo! That guy's still running right through the defense. I never thought that was coming.
It was a physical battle up front. I knew that, and you know, with the Bills, I think they left a lot on the table. So my 40 burger was in play all the way up until the very end. But the Titans' ability to kind of hang in there while the Bills really hit him in the mouth early. They got him into a 3rd and 8 on the first 3 plays of offense. They just by the skin of their teeth convert it. They get another 3rd and 8 right away, and then they're off the field on their first series. Bills drive down, and then they settle for 3. Then they drive down again and settle for 3. And then, you know, Derrick Henry snaps off the big run, and the Titans take the lead. So they hung around perfectly. And then, you know, the game kind of took on a life of its own where there were like 7 lead changes. Every time the Bills would score, the Titans would answer. And every time the Titans would score, the Bills would answer. Fun game to watch. And I got to tell you, I'm not really upset about it. I thought the Bills would go down there and really lump them up. But, man, oh, man, Derrick Henry, and then you throw in Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, and those guys can really complement him well. And I just think the Titans put forth a really good effort. They deserve to win.
Well, if someone would have told you back in August, all right, so in week 6, the Bills are going to lose by just a few points on the road in prime time to the Titans at the end of the game, you might say, well, all right, that's football. That's all right. And yet, man, I really thought they had that game at the end. And we looked at this quarterback sneak this morning on the show about 50 different ways and 50 different angles. We got so far in the nuances of quarterback sneaking and the D-line pinching, and Josh is in the shotgun, and then he walks up. And we had Chris Carter on the show today talking about Josh's work in the quarterback sneak, that he doesn't like a staggered stance. He likes a squared-up stance. My deepest conspiracy theory about that quarterback sneak is this. Josh slips, right? Obviously, if you watch his feet, he slips, he just falls down. There's only a few natural turf stadiums left in the league. The Titans happen to have one. I think if that game was played on field turf, I think Josh Allen gets it. That's how deep we went with that quarterback sneak heard around the league.
I said there are like 4 plays in that game that went for the Titans that really made it out. First, it was the 76-yard run, no question about it, Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Bills fans are livid about, you know, Poyer getting held halfway through the line of scrimmage. Oh, whatever. You're going to get some. You're not going to get some. That was a great play, and give it to him. The second one was the long doink off of Micah Hyde's helmet that ended up in a 35-yard or 32-yard gain where, you know, Julio Jones tracks it. It would have been pass interference anyway. There's 2 plays. Then it was the bumped arm for the interception. There's 3 plays. And then it was the 4th down conversion for Buffalo that Josh Allen slipped, and they got a great surge, and they didn't get it. Those 4 plays mark lead changes, momentum changes, and it was just – it really distills down to those 4 plays being difference makers in that game.
I would only add a 5th play. The 3rd down right before that was absolutely insane. I watched that replay 50 times too.
Yeah.
I'm still not totally sure he didn't get it. I think they got the call right, but I'm not sure. I'm actually shocked that he didn't, normally because Josh jumps over people and he's got the long arms. I thought the second he decided to run, I said, oh, he's getting it. And I guess he didn't, which that was kind of the setup to the 4th down. It was, I think there was 5, maybe even more. And I just, listen, I hope that 4th down sneak does not cost them, you know, a home title game or a home divisional run or anything. Like, the AFC is so turgid right now with good teams who are all beating each other. I hate to think that, you know, the reason that they didn't get that 4th down with the sneak, so, oh, well, now they have to go to Baltimore in January or go to one of these other cities. It's that good in the AFC that every little play in week 6 could.
Yeah. Now. The biggest concern coming out of the game for me is the line of scrimmage battle. This is something that Sean McDermott has been hard at work at since 2018, when his team flat out could not win at the line of scrimmage because they just didn't have the horses. This team reinvested in John Feliciano and Darrell Williams in the offseason, re-signed them both, felt it was just a matter of getting healthy and they would be good enough. They got beat at the line of scrimmage last night. There's no two ways about it. The Titans are not a good matchup for this team. The Ravens are not a good matchup for this team because I don't know if they're capable of physically mashing with those teams at the line of scrimmage. That's a problem. Now, as Steve pointed out, they still scored 31 points, but that's almost largely because you're playing an injury-decimated secondary and Josh can extend plays. By the way, I only have to take issue with one thing you've said so far, Kyle, and that you lumped Ryan Tannehill in with the tough players on the Titans. I can never get to a place where Ryan Tannehill is labeled as tough. I have a tough time with that. I do.
Brownie,
you're
against the Tannehill thing?
I have a Tannehill issue. Yeah, I'll say it.
Fess up.
I don't know. It goes back to his Dolphins days.
Okay.
You know, and he's, you know, he's a former receiver, and receivers are tough. Don't get me wrong. No offense, Steve. I don't know. I can't even look at Tannehill and say he's tough. Yeah. I can't
he's
even look
at him. NFL comeback player of the year, Brown.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I don't know. It's probably it's probably heavily personal. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't like
Brownie,
him.
Can I
can't even look at him.
Let me think of you while I was watching the game. Did you jump out of your chair when the punt return throwback thing, and it was Wycheck to Dyson
Don't
like we talked about last week?
Don't get me started. I'm going to go all Joe Franklin on you here, Kyle. Don't get me started with that. Don't get me started with the home run throw forward. Yeah, I mean, for me, it steamed me a little bit because that's Vrabel, and then it goes – the roots run even deeper than that because that's a Belichick thing. That's what Belichick would do, and Vrabel being a disciple of Belichick – did that on purpose. Don't think for a second there isn't any behind-the-scenes mafioso stuff between Vrabel and Brian Daboll. And Daboll stuck it right back in his ear hole when he went Philly special on him. Do we remember that Super Bowl? I think we do, Mike Vrabel. I know you weren't there anymore, but put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Kyle, that's a dollar fine for you for getting Brownie to rant like that.
All right, but, so I'll take the fine. I'll pay the fine. All I need to know, if I ever need to piss off Brownie, bring up the Music City Miracle, and then Ryan Tannehill. Apparently, no one has very strong opinions about Ryan Tannehill except for Brownie.
I just don't like him. He's got this. He's got this wry grin. Oh my God! I want to punch him in the face.
It's
I'm sorry.
A raw nerve. We'll just admit it right now. I got to ask you this, Kyle. Do you think at certain points, and the Bills' red zone offense has not been as good as it was a year ago, particularly last night against the Titans? Yeah. Do you think it's come down to maybe? With maybe it's an indictment of Singletary and Moss that they're starting to rely more and more and more on Josh Allen, his running ability, his passing ability, and he becomes basically option one and there's no option two.
I know what you're saying, and you want those guys to emerge so badly. You go into a big game, and if you could pick anybody on the Bills roster to have a monster outing, I would pick one of those running backs or both of them. And maybe the fact that we're always referring to them as those two running backs is the problem, and that there isn't one of them who's emerged. And yet it's a head-scratcher because those guys run hard. I mean, I see it all the time. Early in the game, I thought Singletary was running really hard, and at the clutch time, they don't seem to trust them. I don't know. This running thing and the defense thing, all anybody's saying this morning is, well, Derrick Henry's tough, and they got beat, and oh well. But the schedule's so easy moving forward. Let me just point out one thing. They play in a few weeks. They play the Colts. I don't know if they want that either. The Colts run the hell out of the ball.
Yeah.
We know what Coach Reich has going on there. And that Jonathan Taylor is coming off a monster game. Brownie, if you're concerned about them being able to mash, then that is a game to watch. Now, I think it's 4 or 5 weeks from now, but it's a bunch of these Jets and Jaguars in the meantime. Watch the Colts game if you're worried about that.
Oh,
you
don't have to tell me about Jonathan Taylor. My son's a big Wisconsin football fan, and I saw what he did up there in college. And the guy runs a 4.39, and he's almost as big as Derrick Henry. So I'm wholly familiar with what Jonathan Taylor can do, and you're right. That could potentially be an issue if they don't get this stuff right and fundamentally find a way to shed blocks. I mean, that was the biggest problem last night. It wasn't like Derrick Henry was running through people. He was getting the second level at full speed because nobody could touch him. They couldn't get off blocks last night. Sean McDermott even said it after the game. We got to get off blocks. They couldn't get off blocks. It was terrible.
You watched the 76-yarder. I don't think he broke any tackles at all. Like, it was kind of untouched. It was just like track and field. It just ran straight. He looked like Forrest Gump. I mean, it was easy.
Yeah,
right.
And he runs almost 22 miles per hour, by the way, which is insane because he doesn't look like he's moving that fast, and then all of a sudden people just cannot catch him. It's nuts. We talked about the possibility of this offense putting too much on Josh, and even though it is a quarterback-driven league, and I thought last week he took a major step forward in capably straddling the line between improvising when necessary and staying within the scope of the game plan, I thought he fell victim to it on one series, okay? I'm going to run you guys through it. You tell me what you think, okay? Fourth quarter, the Bills are still up 31-27 after the defense gets a stop, makes Bullock kick a 38-yarder to make it 31-27 with 9:45 left. Bills have the ball. They get a first down. They move the sticks. It's first and 10 at the 37. Josh drops back, and he is dead set on getting it all in one play. Ends up taking a 7-yard sack, second and 17. He goes deep on a post again, 40 yards downfield, low percentage play, incomplete. Now it's third and 17. Here comes the pass rush. Tries to throw another pass deep down the right side to Jay Kumerow. Incomplete. Now you're punting. Tennessee's got the ball back. What do we think about that decision-making there? And instead of just getting, even getting half of it on second and 17 after you took your shot or looking for a shot and took a sack, get half of it back, make it third and manageable. You got to stay on the field there. Your defense is not stopping them. They've scored on five consecutive possessions.
Ronnie, don't you feel like, especially the way you describe it, it feels like a home run hitter was trying to hit one 500 feet.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you know what? Hit a double. Hit a single. No, I'm going to swing out of my shoes and get it all back now. I do know what you mean. And yet, in all those descriptions you had, again, where's the handoff to Singletary or Moss? It's just these guys, it's like they disappear for phases. And it's just, let's play hero ball with Josh Allen and he'll throw it a country mile to Diggs or something. It doesn't always work. And I think if you rely on it too much, you can't hit a home run every single time.
Well, I'll say this, and I get what both you guys are saying. It was a tough game, 7 lead changes. Your team scored 31 points. You played the singularly best offensive weapon outside the position of quarterback. You played the singular best offensive player in the league, and he had a nice day, had one snapped off one big play on you, and was a factor in the game. You matched up with a tough team who played physical. You're on the road, prime time, and you're coming in there 4-1, maybe feeling good about yourself, maybe not. It doesn't matter. You got a bye week coming up. Listen, I'm not throwing out and making any wholesale changes to whatever the Bills are doing. They've still got the best defense. They've still got a quarterback who threw for 355 and a couple of touchdowns, and the only time he got intercepted is when his arm got hit by the pass rush.
Yep.
This is a team that is – it's the same team today. Listen, it's the same team today that it would have been if Josh Allen would have quarterback sneaked it in for a touchdown last night on fourth down – and they would have won the game. It's the same team. Same team. So adjustments, game plans, sure. Change all of that you want. But don't feel like you've got to make like these philosophical adjustments halfway through a season or a third of the way through the season where you've lost two games. So I get it. It was a tough game, hard to watch, hard to lose. Particularly when we went in there flying high and I was calling for a blowout. I was calling for a 40 burger. Hey, that happens. So I don't want to say I'm not at all happy they lost, but this is still a really good football team and they played pretty good last night.
Kyle, I feel like we're at a lecture series and Steve is up at the front of the room. What do you think?
This is incredible. I'm actually standing right now. You just fired me up. But Brownie's very negative today. I don't know what he had for breakfast or something, but he's pissed off about everything.
Yeah.
Tasker, that was the speech. God bless you, you beautiful man. That was exactly right. This is the same team. They didn't get the quarterback sneak. Well, they're not going to win the Super Bowl now? You're right.
I know this. It's overreaction. I know we invest so much. And here's the thing, too. And this is the truth. This is the absolute truth. The players on this team, as tough as that loss was, as embarrassing as it was, you know, guys getting trucked by Derrick Henry and guys struggling attacking, getting beaten on a quarterback sneak and all that stuff. Tomorrow, this game will be so far gone because the players and the coaches, they've got another game to work for. It's 2 weeks away, and this one kind of sit with them for a little extra time. But the players and coaches, they'll get over this quick. They'll learn from it. But fans like me and Brownie and Kyle and all the people in the media who think about this, they're going to stew on this loss for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks.
I get it all out in one shot. This is how the players have the 24-hour rule? I have the 24-hour, piss and vinegar rule.
Here's
I just get
reason.
It all out of my system in 24 hours. And, you know, I'm a New York cynic at heart. That's who I am. I'm sorry.
But here's the reason. Because the coaches and players have something to focus on. Down the road, they can work on the things that they need to work on. They can work on what went wrong in Tennessee. They can work on what they need to work on. They got something that's going to make them better and feel good about themselves down the road.
Can they work on being more physical, though? That's the concern that I come out of this game with. I have all the faith in the world in Josh Allen. I thought he played a great game. I don't think you put this game on him at all. The game was won and lost at the line of scrimmage last night, and I think everybody on that coaching staff would agree. You got to win there, and I think the bottom line here is you got to find a way to be more physical at the line. I don't know how you capture that. I don't want to, like Steve said, throw the baby out with the bathwater, Kyle, and make wholesale changes. I don't think that's the answer either. But I worry that Tennessee and Baltimore are not good matchups for this team on what happens at the line of scrimmage with those two clubs.
Kyle, I've got thoughts about being more physical. I'd like to hear yours. What about that?
What do you got, Steve? Listen, here's the burden of expectations.
Yeah.
If this team goes to the title game and loses, this is a bitterly disappointing season. I think if they go to the Super Bowl and lose, it's a disappointing season. So, of course, yeah, they're going to win games, they're going to do fine, and they're a really good team. But, damn, there's this fear I can feel about one day in January getting caught by a team that runs really well and they're not tough enough at the line. Steve, what are your thoughts? Can they toughen up? Does that happen?
Yeah, because most of that, because these guys are, you know, it's not like these guys are small or weaker. What it is, it's between their ears. It's between their ears. It's not from the neck down. It's from the neck up. That's where your toughness is. It's from the neck up. And that can be fixed. So I think that's what they're going to – that's what they'll focus
on.
Well,
that's Coach McDermott then, I guess. Yeah. That's the bye-week project then.
Absolutely.
The neck up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's getting off blocks and it's better tackling. So I do take stock in that because I've never seen a coaching staff here in Buffalo for the better part of two decades that drills the fundamentals like McDermott does and his staff.
Yeah.
So I'm confident they will get it right. And Steve and I have said it on this show a lot, Kyle. There aren't too many coaches we've come across that course correct better than McDermott does after a loss.
Okay. Well, there's not a lot of quarterbacks you come up against that are as prolific, as beautiful, and as tough as Ryan Tannehill Browning. So you don't have to play him next week. That's the solution. I'm going to send you a jersey, my man.
I love it.
Just as long as his body's not in it.
I appreciate your ability to help us self-medicate.
Absolutely. I'm doing it myself already.
All right. So, Kyle, just final thoughts here on the AFC at large. Baltimore beat the tar out of a Chargers team that also had trouble at the line of scrimmage this past week. Cincinnati, I think, is a better team than they're getting credit for, but they'll be tested this week. Because I think they have Baltimore, right, Steve? Cincinnati does?
Yes.
So they'll get a firm test this week to show just what they're made of. Measuring stick game for them within their own division. Who's kind of piquing your interest here, AFC-wise, as we go into a bye week for the Bills?
All right, so the Browns are completely falling apart. I feel terrible for them. They got to play in a short week. The Chargers, great coach, great-looking quarterback. Can't stop anybody on defense. I don't trust them at all. I got to go with Baltimore. They lost by a field goal early on week one to the Raiders and haven't lost since. They got an identity, which is we're all hurt and we signed backup running backs and don't care. They're starting to do those crazy, gratuitous group celebrations they did a couple years ago when they were so good. Lamar is playing out of his mind. They're getting this rookie receiver Bateman back now since when he got hurt in training camp. I do not want to play Baltimore right now, and especially if I have trouble stopping the run. I think Baltimore right now is the best number one team in the AFC. I'm sorry, Buffalo, but Baltimore's on fire, and I don't want any part of them.
Yeah, especially on this. I know it's a week-to-week league, and we'll have different opinions next week and after the bye week and all that. But for this week, I agree with you. Baltimore looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
They look really, really good.
And they're only just getting healthy now.
Right. And and overcoming what they've overcome and the fact that they run a unique kind of team atmosphere with a quarterback that is, a powerhouse. He can run it. And he's throwing better. So I think, I kind of agree with you. Baltimore this week is the team to beat.
Yeah. And Kyle,
I just look at the Ravens like one of these programs, like a college program. They're going to be there. That the Ravens are going to play a role in this thing at the end. Maybe the Bills run into them in the playoffs. If not, it'll be somebody else. But this John Harbaugh thing is just every single year they're going to be a factor. They're not going to fall on their face. They're not built like that. So maybe they come to Buffalo, or if things don't go great, maybe Buffalo goes to Baltimore. We'll find out next couple of months, my friend.
Yeah, and I said it last week. I think they're one of the most mentally tough teams in the entire league. They're just They got the stones, man. They do.
I know. Exactly right.
Kyle, appreciate the time. As always, we'll let you go. We get a bye week. We know you never get one. You're 18 weeks.
Never.
You're 18 weeks straight through, baby. So rest up, and we'll catch up with you next week.
I will. You guys are the best. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right, Kyle.
Kyle
Brandt joining us here from Good Morning Football, as he does every week after Bills games, every single Tuesday. We will take a break here, but when we come back, more of your thoughts on the tweet sheet. Coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio. The Buffalo Bills and AdPro Sports partnering to recognize some of the best coaches that Western New York has to offer through the 2021 High School Football Coach of the Week program. This week for Section 6, Hamburg coach Jeff Tripp was named the Week 7 Coach of the Week after leading the Bulldogs to a 20-16 win over defending Section 6 Class A champion South Park, giving his team their first postseason berth since 2015. Tripp joined the Hamburg football staff in 2007, was named head coach in 2016. Meanwhile, in Section 5, McQuaid Jesuit head coach Bobby Bates named Coach of the Week after his Knights earned a 22-21 victory over arch-rival Aquinas. McQuaid is currently New York State's number 2 ranked team in Class AA. Bates is in his 9th season and 2 stints as head coach at McQuaid and has compiled a 68-17 record. Believe it's time for us to go around the locker room here briefly as we take a look at some of the more poignant comments from the postgame. And that's brought to you by Connect Life, your blood and organ donor network. First, Coach McDermott here on what went wrong in the Bills' loss to the Titans on Monday night.
At the end of the day, we didn't get the job done. I didn't get the job done. And they did a good job in the red zone. We should have scored. You know, our red zone stats, I think, were 2 for 5. They were 3 for 3. You know, and then the points after, off the turnover, they got 7. We came away with 3. So just some of the differences in the game, but at the end of the day, the result's the result, and we got to do a better job.
And then here is Josh Allen about not converting on the fourth down play and the offensive struggles they had against the Titans.
Game of inches. The play before was pretty close too. Didn't turn out in our favor today. We were 2 of 5 in the red zone. We can't do that against a team like this. A lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas. But at the end of the day, 4-2 into the bye week, going back to last year, taking a loss the way we did against Arizona, Hail Mary bye week. This is a resilient team. I got no doubt that, we're going to use this to fuel us and be ready to go in 2 weeks. Just trying to find a window to get in there. And, quarterback sneaks aren't the funnest play by any means. I got to find a way to get a first down there, so it happens.
So there's Josh's take on the sneak on 4th and 1 that did not reach the line to gain. And around the locker room presented by Connect Life, blood and organ donor network. We do want to get back to the phones where we have some people waiting patiently. And we go to Tom in West Seneca. Tom, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Chris, Steve, I want to thank you so very much for talking me down after what Steve referred to as sickening. The Buffalo Bills are a great team, and I've been on from day one. I've been on the Josh Allen bandwagon. I think he's a great quarterback. As a matter of fact, I think he's the greatest quarterback in the game today. And I think, Chris, that you put it in perspective pretty much sums it up on both sides of the ball. We didn't do well at all. I thought the pass defensive positioning was too soft. As Josh was just saying, it is a game of inches. This Buffalo Bills team, I love our Buffalo Bills. And we are going to the Super Bowl, but like Steve said, Steve, it's sickening. Not you don't get angry over it. It's just a sickening feeling. But you talked me down from this sickening feeling that I've had, both you and Chris, and it's I can't wait for the season to progress. It was just, and again, it is a game of inches. I personally thought that tip of the ball was a first down on the third down play, but it was close. That's the way it goes. But I think that it's one of their best plays when you have a foot to go and for a first down. You know, that quarterback sneak, it's a given. But all told, I love our Buffalo Bills. I think they're a great team. And I do appreciate immensely both you, Chris, and Steve, for talking me down from this sickening feeling.
All right, Tom.
God bless the Bills. Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the call. Steve, you want to hang out a shingle? You're apparently a football therapist.
Well, it goes without saying, it's what we said during Kyle's thing, that they're the same team today that they would have been had Josh quarterback sneaked it into for the end zone for the win. Nothing's changed. They're still a great team. They're 4-2 instead of 5-1. They got a lot of football to be played, and they're going to be favored in most of the games they have left. They're going to be in the tournament at the end of the season, and there's no getting away from that. So, you know, we can suffer through losses like this. Certainly the Titans looked great, and I would submit that the Titans looked as good as they've looked all season in that game last night. And they're a good football team, too. They're 4-2 as well. You know, you talk about how good the Titans are. Well, then you think about it. They lost to Arizona Cardinals. They beat Seattle and Indianapolis, who were struggling at the time. They lost to the New York Football Jets.
Didn't have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown in that game, but yes. Gave up 27 points to the Jets.
That's right. And then they beat the Jaguars and then Buffalo. So they've got the Chiefs next week. It'll be interesting to see if the Chiefs can match up with these guys and see how the Chiefs decide to attack them. Interesting game. So we'll see. But this is the same Bills team that it would be if Josh had scored on that last play instead of, you know, missing out on the conversion. So you don't need to do anything different than you've been doing. Just do what you do better.
And really, they have the same record after six games this year that they had last year, I believe. Is that right? I think they were 4-2 last year at this time as well. If memory serves, you can check that while I go to our next caller as we go to Dick in North Tonawanda. Dick, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Why not put your biggest, most athletic guy in the backfield to try to pick up that 6 inches? Now, I know that, Josh, you're certainly the biggest of the offensive guys in the backfield normally. But we got bigger guys. We got a star, Latuale, who would emulate a William Refrigerator Perry. Pick up 6 inches. Why not put the biggest blockers and that guy in the game to try to get that distance?
Yeah, it's good. It's a good question. I mean, I know you can get guys to do that. I mean, we were laughing in the offseason. I thought Justin Zimmer should be playing fullback. He's his 300 pounder and he can run. The only thing that you have in the corner that gives you hesitation is ball handling. Those guys don't handle the ball very much, and it's foreign to them, and it doesn't feel right, you know, and they don't spend any time practicing it. So you could spend all your time having those guys practice ball handling and getting to where you feel good about a quick snap, turn around, hand the football off to them. But while you're practicing them to do that for maybe once in a blue moon play, he's not practicing his normal defensive line position. So I get it. The bigger the better, but you know, the more you specialize in that, the more predictable you become as well. So you know, if that was the case, you'd take all the tight ends off, you'd put every offensive lineman on there and every defensive lineman on there, line them up as close to the ball as you can and just, you know, try and push through. You know, there might be some defenders who would get the wind of that and match it. So I get it. And it's always, you know, we always come in after losses like this, and if what you did doesn't work in that crucial situation that lost you the game, you should have done the other thing, and you were an idiot for not doing it.
And they had a gut-wrenching loss last year, as Josh mentioned, you know, against Arizona on a Hail Mary, and they came back from that and didn't lose again the rest of the regular season. Could this be the same kind of fuel? We'll see. The schedule is The easiest in the league.
Last year at this point, the Bills were also 4-2, and they had just they're coming off now a two-game losing streak. They lost to the Titans, then they lost to the Chiefs in successive weeks to get them to 4-2. Because they started out 4-0.
Right. Let's go back to the phones. Fred in Rochester. What do you have for us, Fred?
Yeah, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I've been watching you guys. I watch the show all the time.
Thanks.
I just got home from work, so I don't know whether this has been mentioned or not. But number one, I'm a big Tasker fan. Always have been from the time he played. I think he ought to be in the Hall of Fame. I know he probably would shrug his shoulders at that, but I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, number one. So, number two, this team is a good team. I don't think we ought to run around with our hair on fire. They've got one of the best defensive coordinators, one of the best offensive coordinators, and one of the best head coaches in the league.
Right.
What happened last night? Hey, Josh's foot slipped. He didn't get a grip on the ground. What are you going to do? You can't do anything about that. There's one thing that hasn't been mentioned since I've been watching you guys today. I don't know whether maybe you mentioned it before I started watching TV or not, but we also had a 101-yard kickoff return called back last night from a block in the back. That's your football game right there in a way.
Yeah.
I'll hang up now and listen to you guys.
Yeah,
talk.
And thanks for watching, Fred. We appreciate it. Yeah, I did mention that because – there were points taken off the board in this game by two penalties. Dawson Knox had an end-around for a touchdown in the red zone that got taken off the board because of a holding penalty on Emmanuel Sanders. That drive only ends in a field goal. So there's 4 points there that are lost. And then the 101-yard kick return for a touchdown. That gets called back on a holding penalty on Andre Smith, and it was a holding penalty. There's no debating that. And that takes 7 points off the board, and that wound up being the final drive of the game when the Bills got the ball wherever they spotted it, I don't even remember now, after they called the return back because of the holding penalty, and they ultimately don't get in the end zone there. So that's another 7 points. So 7 plus 4, that's 11 points. You have those 11 points. I don't know. You can't argue what would the Titans have done after the kick return. They had scored on 6 straight possessions, Steve. They may have come right back down and scored again.
And they would have had
time to do it. Or salted the game away, too.
And they would have had time to do it.
Yeah. But that's 11 points that the Bills didn't have. It's unfortunate, but sometimes you leave points out there, and it cost you, and it did.
Right.
We have to take a break, Steve and I, to close it up when we return here on a Buffalo Football Tuesday on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Numbers is brought to you by the New York Lottery. Get out there and play with their one takeaway against the Titans. The Bills have 16 takeaways through the season's first 6 games, their most since recording 16 in 2011. Buffalo's season total is at plus 11 for a second straight week, their largest balance at any point of a season since the plus 14 margin they posted through 7 games in 2017. We're going to squeeze in one more phone call here, and Dave in Florida, you got to be quick because we're quickly running out of time. What do you have for us?
Okay, just one question. What our kicker was he kicking him short deliberately the whole night?
Had to be.
I've seen him kick him out of the end zone.
He had to be.
It was. It was by design.
What was the purpose?
I think they thought that if they could kick it inside the 10 or inside the 5 and outside the numbers, that they'd get an angle on the guy and not get him back to the 25. They'd get him inside the 20 or inside the 25, and it'd gain him a few percentage points on the but I think, you know, you play the percentages.
I was wondering, he never kicked out of the zone. Yeah. And I agree with you, Chris. I agree with you on the third down call. I thought it sucked. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah. All right.
what third down call is he talking about?
I don't know if he's talking about you.
I'm guessing because he didn't think they got the first down.
Well,
the how it was officiated.
Here's what I'm going to do. I know we got another week, and we'll probably start still talking about it. I'm going to the Sabres game tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to flush the football game. I'm going to go to the Sabres game. They're 2-0. I've been at both games. So
playing
I'm going to
well.
Go to this one. Yeah. If I have to, I'll go to 82 in a row.
I'll get our podcast script together.
You do that.
For Bills by the Numbers.
You do that. Bills by the Numbers tomorrow. We'll get that in the can.
Yep.
But I'm going to the hockey game tonight.
All right. Fair enough. Let me know how they do.
All right.
I'll be here tomorrow. I'll see you then.
I'll let you in on it.
Thank you. We'll be right back here tomorrow at 1 p.m. until 3, so please join us as we move forward from this unfortunate defeat at the hands of the Titans, but I think we're all confident the Bills will bounce back. They course correct among the best teams in the league, so we'll see you tomorrow. Join us here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.